We're going to go back to 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to pick up again. Our study tonight starts in verse 11. We're going to do 11 and 12, but I want to go back and read 8, 9, and 10 because if you weren't with us before, we looked at that already, but we'll just read over that out of the King James, and then we'll pick up with 11 because it makes more sense that way. And we'll do it like we've been doing it over the days and weeks and years. And we'll give you the King James Version, and then we're going to read my notes. And then we'll read the verse out of the Koine Greek. We'll read Jack's notes. And look at the scripture that he put in his Workman's Interlinear to give us to look at. And these two verses that we're going to begin with are kind of heavenly related with scripture. So we need to go ahead, I guess, and get started. I'm going to read 8 through 10, and then we'll pick up with 11. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And then here's our study for tonight, or for this period. He says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." So when you go back and you look at that and read what he's saying here and get in the flow of the gist of what Paul was trying to put forth on paper here, it makes more sense to go back and a little bit and look at it that way, because it's a kind of a lead in to what we're going to do tonight. And so, here we are. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." And I was going to do that last time, but I didn't have time to do it. But we're going to pick it up and go with it right now. It says, "Whereunto or into which I, Paul, am," and we can say "was," "appointed or called by Christ." And he uses the word "a preacher" first. And the preacher there is the word kiruk, and it means a herald, someone who heralds or puts forth the message firmly in a way that can be taken and understood. And he says, "and an apostle." And not many people can say they were an apostle. But certainly Paul was, because he had been called, he had been chosen by God, struck down on the Damascus Road in Acts 9 and blinded. And that kind of bothered him all the rest of his whole life. But yet, what he had been chosen for was what he didn't let his son do while his son was here on the earth, because it wasn't time for that to take place. Realize that. And he says, and a teacher of the Gentiles. And that Gentiles there is the word ethnos. And that means everyone else with the exception of the Israeli nation. And so this was what Paul was chosen for, what he was called for, and who he preached to. But he also preached all during the book of Acts to the children of Israel, but he also went to the Gentiles too, along with others that were with him from time to time. And my thought about that was he gathered him a pretty good little entourage as he went along down the road.
And as he even said himself, he went to the Jew first.
Yeah. And then the Gentile. Okay. And so let's look at verse 11. And the workman's interlinear, and see what it says through through that as we go back and lay it alongside the King James Version. And verse 11 said, unto which was appointed I. So that's a little different situation there. Unto which was appointed I, herald, an apostle, and a teacher. So it's in the same order, but he uses a little different word with that. And then bring it on down to the more modern English. He says, unto which I was appointed herald, apostle, and a teacher. And so this is Jack's notes here on verse 11. And I love to read Jack's stuff. It's plain and it's very understandable and very easy to associate with it in the situation of what we're explaining here. And this is God's word concerning the mystery truth that had been held back and not given to anyone until Paul came along, and it was given to Paul after the Jews were set aside at the end of Acts. So Paul didn't choose his calling, but rejoiced in that he could glorify his head in such manner. God called him to his calling. First, as apostle to his own earthly people, the Jews. Then to whosoever will, the apostle to the Gentiles. As he traveled through the eastern arid village towns and cities, he heralded the good news of the work of salvation for any and all sinners. His aim to find sinners to be saved by grace backed up, let me turn the page, by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, similarly, he brought many into the body of Christ when the mystery was revealed unto him. And then Jack gives us, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He gives us 7 places that we need to look at to understand this verse of scripture. And so I always do it by, or try to always do it by going back to the Feathers chapter back and pick it up. So we're going to do that as we always do here. So, and I always add a little bit to Jack's quite a lot at times because, to give us a kind of a flow of the way that scripture works. So I want to go back to Romans 6. And we'll start there. And Romans 6. Okay, I'll have to look at 16 through 20. Okay. In Romans 6, it's on page 1674. If you have a companion Bible, if you don't have a companion Bible, I cannot tell you. But I'm going to read 16 through 20 on page 1674. And it says this, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." So you see, you can be a servant under someone who doesn't know the truth, who doesn't know the mystery truth. And you can also know it unto the righteousness of God, especially by reading Paul's last seven letters there that he penned during his last years there. And we're in the one tonight, the very last one that he penned. So, you know, it seems like we're taking it kind of slow, but we need to look at, truly, give a long, hard look to the last words that Paul is going to tell to anyone here on the earth, even to his sons that he called them his sons, that he's shown the knowledge and the understanding and the mystery truth to. Verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of that ye, but let me start over. But God be thanks that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." In verse 20, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness." So, you see, those two don't go together. They're kind of like God and sin. God does not dwell in a place where sin is. And he's going to clean it up before he gets involved there. And you notice that over and over and over again. And that's the reason that Christ gave us the grace of taking our sins away when he was on the cross, because when one becomes a believer, then he believes in truth and he believes what God has said and given to us in his written word, and we don't have to worry too much about it because the Holy Spirit can indwell us and does indwell those that's been called and understands that we are now sinless, basically in the eyes of God. But we realize and understand that also that the old man is still with us. We haven't got ourselves loose from the old man at all. Okay, we're going to look at Romans 16 too while we're here. So turn a few pages over to Romans 16. And in Romans 16, we're going to look at verse 17. Romans 16:17, that's on page 1693. He says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. And I'll just go ahead and read 18 because I marked them together in my book, in my Bible at one time. It says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their belly, their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." So you see, there's always a beware here. And the beware is a deception because Satan is in the business of deception. Always, when he decided he wanted to take the place of Christ, then this was the way that he chose to do his ill works. And that we have been brought into them because of what he did in Genesis. And so we realize and understand there that, yes, we were born in sin, but we certainly don't have to stay in sin. 1 Corinthians 4, page 1702. That's the 1702, okay. And we're going to look at two places there, but 1 Corinthians 4, 17. It says, "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus," or Timothy, as we call him, "who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every assembly." I know your Bible may say church, but here again,
assembly is better.
As we go and we learn words and we understand how these things work. A church, in my view, is a company of believers in Christ. And people call where they assemble, they call that a church or a church building. But the church is the people, it's not the building. And so I like to use the word assembly. And so, there I did that.
That actually more truly refers to the group of people than it does the building itself.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Got that one. And then we're going to look at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Let me find First Corinthians 12. Okay, I got that. And we're going to look at verse 28. 12:28, page 1717. And it says in 28, and God has sent some in the assembly, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, then gifts of help, and gifts of governments and diversity of tongues. And then he asked a bunch of questions after that. Are we all? Well, they, not necessarily so. Okay. We're going to go from 1 Corinthians to Ephesians 4. And I got two markers here because one of them is for here and one of them is for the next verse that we're going to take up. Ephesians 4:11 through 13 is what we're going to do here. And that's on page 1766 if you have a companion Bible. Well, I'll just read 10 along with it. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Because 9 goes with it, but I just read half of that. And it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, meaning that these people that have been called in these assemblies to hear the word of God and have believed they're called saints, is for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man and to the measure of the stature of the fullness or the pleroma of Christ. That is Ephesians 4:10 through 13. Okay. The next one, I can take one of my pieces, one of my markers out there now. The next one is Colossians 1. So we'll bounce over Philippians for this time and go to Colossians 1. And we're going to look at Colossians 1:28 and 29. It starts on page 1782 and winds up on 1783. It says, whom we preach, this is Paul again speaking, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That is a big, big, big
order.
Work to take upon for anyone, anywhere, anytime. He says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily, because he realizes, Paul realizes, he himself cannot do it. It is done through his belief and understanding God's word and what he's been called to do. 28 and 29. Then we want to go from there to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2. And we'll be done with that verse. But you see, this is the way the book works. You don't get the whole story in one place. And I know it looks like we're just burning the pages of our Bible up, but we ought to. We're going to look at 7 and 8 of chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. And it's on page 1802. I don't know why I didn't put the page number down there, but and we're going to look at what? 7 and 8, I said, says, whereunto? And that's used quite a bit in Paul's writings also. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. And here's the rest. I said, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. So he added that to it for clarity. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. And I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So, he never did want you to doubt what he taught and preached and pointed out to mankind wherever he was, and to realize the importance of it. So that's what we got with verse 11. So let's go on to verse 12. Now verse 12 is partly on page 1809 and partly on page 1810. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version. And it says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That is what I call a pregnant verse. It is so full of things that we need to look at. So let's go back and get into my notes. You know, you see a lot in Paul's writings where it says wherefore, like in 2 Timothy 1:6. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. But in 12, it's a little different, but it means the same thing. For the which cause is the same as wherefore. And so I opened that in my notes. For the which cause. And this is the appointment. The call to preach. The call to be an apostle. And also to be a teacher. And we realize and find in verse 11, he says, I, Paul, also suffer. Why did Paul seem like he had to suffer so much all his life after he was called out and straightened out by God?
Fill up that which was behind.
He always understood that he had to pay the price for what was going on. Because you see, the Apostle Paul finished or fulfilled those things that he did not let his son feel when his son was here on the earth before all this took place. He suffered because of these things. Full stop. So when you have a full stop in the Bible, it means stop and dwell on that a little bit. The apostleship, the heralder, the one that heralded the truth out to mankind. You know, they used to have town criers. They'd go out over town heralding the news of the day. And I think this is where that probably came up from, as one that would go forth and hurl. But also,
did the word Caruso?
He preached to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So I made in my notes, I said, let's just stop and think on this for a minute. Then he says, nevertheless, after he said, I suffer these things. Without the ability to sidestep or to show or shun, I, Paul, am not ashamed. He says, I could do it and sidestep some of this stuff that y'all don't like. But no, that's not me. I'm not going to do that. That's what I was not called to do that. That's what nevertheless means. If you go look in the Strong's, you can see that in its fullness. He says, for I know, and that's oida in the Greek. And that's to understand without effort. You can get so familiar with stuff that you can understand it without really going back and thinking about, well, what does he mean here? And that's to understand without effort whom I have believed. And I am persuaded. And persuaded is 3982 in the Strong's. And this persuaded is kind of like not being able to forget what he says before. He don't have any Alzheimer's, as we understand it today. So he is convinced by being given the ways of God to agree, to assure, to believe, to have confidence, to obey, to trust, and to yield to God's will, that he, Christ, is able to keep or to guard, Paul says, that which I have committed unto him, that he can give it to Christ and Christ can guard it. What he has been given, and that's his life's deposit, or parathiki, against or unto that day. Well, what is that day he's talking about? It's the day of his appearing. Amen?
Amen.
the day of his appearing. Because when he appears, we're going to appear there with him. Okay, let's go to Jack's interlinear again. Look at verse 12. Koine Greek. I can't read it, but I can read it after it's been brought down to the English. It says, through which cause also these things I suffer. Because of what he was called to do, he continually has the sufferings that goes along with that cause. Christ was the same way. Christ suffered for what he preached. That's the reason he had to be 30 years old to start, because his Mary and Joseph would have suffered if he'd have started any quicker. Because times then were a little different from they are now. They say you're a grown person either when you're 18 or 21 or something of that sort. But no, then it was 30 years old. If you wasn't married, then you were still under mom and dad till you were 30 years of age. They were responsible for you. Okay. So which cause also these things I suffer, but rather not I am ashamed. I know for whom I have believed. The world we live in, that gets harder and harder for these people to understand that. They get so, they become so disqualified with the lie. I know for whom I have believed and am persuaded that able he is. See, Paul understood that he wasn't able, but in Christ, he was everything able. He is that which has been committed me to keep until that the day. And many people go through their life and never see how great that day can be. And never realize that their time to wait could be shortened greatly by that belief. Through which cause I also suffer these things, it says in the more modern English, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which hath been committed me unto that day. And Jack goes on to say this. Paul is speaking of his ministry to proclaim the mystery. His sufferings are well known. One needs to only to read the book of Acts and attendant passages through his letters to see the extent of his sufferings. For instance, Philippians 1:29. Paul has not ever fallen to intimidation by the world and its minions, are those that we may not be able to see, but they follow after Satan. That's these minions that we sometimes talk about. He has not been embarrassed or ashamed to proclaim Christ. he would have greatly internalized Isaiah 53. He had been totally convinced that Christ is able to keep his word, which Paul preached unflinchingly. This parathike is spoken of in following verses, is which God has given to Paul to proclaim. It was committed to him. Paul was committed to Christ, and also was the committed deposit. And then we have several verses here, and there are quite a few. We got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 places. Okay, we're going to do like we did before. Yeah, I got 15 minutes. Woo! Let's go back to Romans again. You see, that's the reason they had some of them double marked. Because if I didn't, if I took the marker out, then I'd have to look for the page again.
Yep.
Okay.
Find it all over.
Yeah. Romans. We're going to go to Romans 1. Romans 1 is on page 1662. Let me get my little book up here where I've already got it written down. No, don't want to go there. Sorry, folks. Let's take that back. Let's go back to the book of Luke. I'd like to have done what I done last week. Luke 1, 46 through 49. Okay, that's on page 1432. Starts on 42, goes to 49. 46, 46. Okay. This is the son of, this is the mother of Christ, Mary. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. And verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Okay. Then we want to go to Luke 12 and look at 46 through 48 again. In Luke 12, 46 through 48. That's on page 1470. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom is his Lord shall make ruler over his household, and give them their portions of meat in due season? I started a little early. But blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all he hath. But and if the servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunk, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at the hour which he's not aware. That's where I need to start. And will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord will, and prepare not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will be asked the more. And so Paul understood that quite perfectly, that what he'd been given, he had to pay for it. He suffered for that. Okay, let's go to chapter 24 of Luke. Luke 24, 45 to 51, and that's on page 1509. And he says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooveth Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Let's see, how far are we going to go here? 51. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And we have not heard from him personally since that day. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Without fanfare, without noise, or without whatever, he is making us able to receive these things in a new body that we don't even are able to understand or know about.
Yeah.
So that's that. Okay, we went through Luke. Okay, let's go to John. John 1. There's a lot of these things here. John 1. We're going to look at 10 through 14 on John 1. 15, 13 is the page. It said, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Turn a page or two. Let's see. We're going to go to chapter 2 of John. Let me get it right now. We're going to look at 18 through 22. John 2. John 1 is pretty long. John 2, 18 through 22. And that's on page 1517. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Well, they didn't understand. 21 says, But he spoke of the temple of his body. Verse 22. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. When it come plain to them, and sometimes it took a little bit, but they were in step when it come to them. They were in step. Okay. The next one is Romans 1. We are going to make it to Romans. Yeah. In Romans 1, we're going to look at 13 through 16. And that's on page 1663. He said, Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Full stop. Think about what he said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek, because we realize that in Romans here, this has to be rightly divided.
Yep.
Put in its proper place. Okay. Then we're going to look at John 2. 18 through 22. John 2, 18 through 22. Wait a minute. Is that Romans? Let me get it right again. No, I read that wrong. This is Romans. We won't go to Romans 4. Romans 4, 3, 4, and 5. It says, for what saith the scriptures? That's on page 1669. Romans 4, 3, 4, and 5. For saith the scriptures, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. You see, this was the way the law worked. To Abraham, he was justified by works. Now to whom that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. It wasn't by the grace of God, but of debt. But what Abraham owed God, in a sense. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So Abraham's faith counted him for righteousness because of his works that he did as to what he owed God. Okay. We'll go from there to 2 Corinthians 10. Second Corinthians 10. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10:13-15. No. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. I got to where I can't read my own writing. For though we walk in the flesh, and this is on page 1742, if you have a companion Bible. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mightily through God to the putting down of the strongholds. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 3-5, 2 Corinthians. That's the only one there. Now we go to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. We're going to look at 7 and 8 in Galatians 2. 1751 is the page. It says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, and the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mightily in me towards the Gentiles. So in Galatians, Paul is telling to Peter that those of the circumcision was committed to him, and the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul. Okay, in Galatians. Now, to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. That's on page 1767. 29 to the end of the chapter. Let no corrupt communication proceeds out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Here again is the day that we made mention of before. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Just like Christ went to the cross and forgive you of your sins. Wow.
Amen.
Page 17. I said 57, but it was supposed to be 1767. Let's go to Philippians 1. Philippians 1, 6 to 10. Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think of this, of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent, or literally try the things that differ, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Page 1773. Let's turn a page or two to two. And let's look at 2:13-16. We're getting about done. And that's on page 1776. Good year. That's the year of the United States birthday in 1776.
Amen.
13-16, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, or neither labored in vain. Philippians 2. And then we'll go from there to 1 Timothy. Two places left. 1 Timothy 6. In 1 Timothy 6, we're going to look at 11 through 16. That's on page 1807. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Okay, 11 through 16. That thou keepest this commandment without spot, rebuke unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom hath not seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Then we want to go one more place, to Titus 1. And look at Titus 1, 2, and 3 in chapter 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and to the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. So here you see why preaching was last. You see the message was going to be brought through him toward the last. And so I will gather up my handful of bookmarks. And we will say, it's good for you to have been with us tonight. We love you greatly. And thank you for the time. And realize that there are others of the body out there that are needing prayers for their illnesses and other things that beset them. And I've got a lady down in Georgia that's had gallbladder surgery this last week. I said, well, how are you doing, hon? She said, 20 staples. So they couldn't do it the way they normally do it now. There's a suction to suck it out, but hers was kind of like mine. It had got beyond that situation. I know how that feels. So remember Elaine Van Brackel and those down there that studying with her from time to time, and on occasions with me on the telephone. So, God bless. Lord willing, we'll be with you again next week. Thank you for your great love and understanding through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.